The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Brittany and Kendrick Brown from Suffolk, Virginia, and we love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 296 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Mike. I know you're not feeling well. How are you?
I'm not feeling well.
Oh, sorry. You're a trooper to do our podcast.
But the show must go on.
Yes, yes. So I have a shout out today.
Okay.
And it is to our good buddy, Rich Gehring. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Rich.
Yeah. So Rich is our show notes guy and all around nice friend. So we wish you a wonderful birthday, Rich.
I'd sing happy birthday to Rich, but I don't want to spoil his birthday.
So. That's your gift to him.
Mm-hmm. That's my gift, a non-singing birthday wish.
All right, Mike. Since you're not feeling well, how about I do most of the talking today?
Well, you know, this is a joint effort, so I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell everyone what we're going to talk about?
Okay. So, as you know, Mike, I am kind of a Apple geek, to say the least, and several of our listeners have actually written notes to me asking when I'm going to do an Apple Watch review. So this is one of them. I have plans to do other ones, but this is a typical letter, and this is from Sarah. She said, my sister and I registered for Wine and Dine this fall, and I just picked up the Apple Watch to help me train. I heard Michelle mention on several episodes that she had one, and I wondered if you could take everyone through a run with the watch, how you utilize it, which apps you find most helpful. I have yet to figure out how to get it to vibrate to my intervals for me. Any other thoughts, concerns, or comments regarding it with regard to running fitness or a day in the parks is greatly appreciated. If you could help convince my sister Emily to get one, I would be even more indebted to the Mickey Milers. And that's from Sarah in Tampa. So, Mike, I thought today you maybe could interview me and ask me some questions about the Apple Watch.
You really want me to ask you questions?
Sure.
All right.
So, you know, one of the things I wanted to say is this is the way that we plan this show is just going to be an overview. We will mention some apps, but we'll talk about that a little bit more and then see maybe what the Disney connection is, there is.
If you're wondering, we are going to make a Disney connection. So, Michelle, first thing I would say, if someone was under a rock and had no idea what we're talking about, how would you describe what is the Apple Watch?
Okay, so it is a watch made by Apple. Next question. No, just kidding. It definitely is an Apple product. You have to have an iPhone 5 or 6 to use an Apple Watch. And it is sort of a little computer that's on your wrist, and it has all sorts of, not every app that's on your phone can be on your Apple Watch. There are some developers who have made companion apps. And it's kind of a way to connect to your phone without taking it out of your pocket. So you can, you know, it tells time, which is good. But you could also listen to music, you can read news, get text. Although there's no Facebook or Messenger app on it, somehow the Facebook and Messenger messages pop up on your phone. You can send text to people, you can send little drawings and things like that. And it does have two apps that are dedicated to exercise. One is the activity app, and that has three rings on it. One which prompts you to stand every hour. Another one which gets you to wants you to move and burn a certain number of calories. And it once a week it checks in with you to see, you know, if you've hit your goals for the week. And then the other one is the movement app. So that has to do with exercise. So mine just actually beeped on me, told me to stand up. And the other is a dedicated workout app. And with the dedicated workout app, it records running, walking, indoors, outdoors, elliptical activity, other activity. It also has a heart rate sensor on it too, so it collects data about your heart rate. So those are some of the apps that you can use with the Apple Watch.
So I think you may have touched upon several of the things that I'm going to ask you right now. If someone is, you know, hearing this for the first time, they may be thinking, oh, wow, I wonder if I could do this, I wonder if I could do that, I wonder if I could do that. So what do you think is important for someone to know that the watch cannot do? So someone wants to think about, I might want to buy that watch. What would you tell them before they bought it that they should know that it cannot do?
So it doesn't do a lot of things. And I think, you know, for the purpose of our conversation here, Mike, I'm going to talk about it in terms of running. What it doesn't do is it does not have GPS on it. So when you first get the watch, you have to take it outside with your phone and do your activities, and it actually calibrates. So it does calibrate pretty well, and you can eventually leave your phone at home, but it doesn't have a GPS on it. So what it doesn't do is it does not show you a map of where you are. It doesn't constantly update, you know, in terms of, you know, where you are on the map, but it does tell you how far you've gone and what your pace is. So for me, I would use it for shorter runs, but not for longer runs where I'd really want to look at the map and see where I went. It doesn't have a camera on it. You can play music on it, but you need to have wireless headphones to play music on it. You need to load your music on it. So it does a lot of things, but it doesn't do everything. And I should mention too that the starting price for the watch, for the sport watch, the smaller one is $350. The middle price is about $550 to $600 for the middle price watch, and then it goes all the way up to a $10,000 watch. I know you're eyeing that one, Mike.
Okay, so then tell me. I mean, you've talked about what it is, what it isn't. Then what is it good for? What kind of use do you get out of it, and how practical is it, and what do you use it for?
So, I mean, I already have a GPS watch, and I have a Fitbit, and I have an iPod, and it does some of all of those things. So my hope in getting the watch is that I could put some of those things away. So for me, what it's good for is it does actually tell you how many steps that you took, like a Fitbit does. It tells you how many steps that you take every day. It is good for short runs. It will tell you your pace, your distance, things like that. And you can also load your music on it, as I said. So I'm not using my iPod Shuffle very much anymore, because I go out and I can play my music on my watch, and I have a little bit fewer wires, so I like it because of that. It's something that's comfortable that I feel like I can wear all day long. The battery life that people were talking about before it was released is absolutely phenomenal. I wear it all day long, from about 6 in the morning till 10 or 11 at night. And usually when I charge it, it has 40% battery left. So I think it's a good general activity tracker, day-to-day type of thing. So that's what I think it's good for.
So let me ask you this question. What does it try to do, or what is it not really good at doing? I mean, I'm sure that it's first... You know, it's the first edition of this watch, so there are some, you know, there are going to be some, you know, glitches or whatever. What does it not do really well right now?
Well, one of the things that I have found is that, I mean, aside from the GPS, I actually don't use maps very often, so that hasn't been a big deal for me. But one of the things I have missed about it, just using the regular Apple Activity app, is that there's no sharing of data. So I know sometimes you've said to me, oh, I've walked 14,000 steps today, and you can share that on Fitbit, but on the activity app for the Mac, for the Apple Watch. It goes on my phone, but I can't really share it with anybody. And sometimes I like to. Sometimes I like to do that. What I notice, at least on the regular, the basic workout app, is it doesn't show me splits. So that's kind of a big deal. I like to know, you know, I think the last time I ran, I was doing negative splits, and it shows you an overall pace, but it didn't really show me my splits. And what else isn't it good for? I don't know. You've heard me talk about it. Well, the other things, I guess, you know, in term, it's water resistant, but you can't take it into the pool. So that's not that big of a deal. But it does show you a lot of data that I think is really helpful, your heart rate and things like that. I like that I can take it onto the elliptical machine, which I can't do with my Garmin, and it will collect data then. I can take it, you know, if I'm on a treadmill, it collects data there. But there are some things that it doesn't do.
Okay, so for those out there who are listening and who have a Garmin Forerunner 220, a Forerunner 9 million, or whatever, any kind of a running watch, should they consider the Apple Watch to replace their running watch?
So I would say maybe. I think if you're an Apple person, it's definitely a product that you'll like. I have very much enjoyed having it. I like all the different apps that are on it. However, I think that, which is binged, I think that if I were going to run a Disney race, that I would definitely run with my Garmin. If I was going out for an extra long training run, I would not run with the Apple Watch alone. I would probably take it with me, but I would want to make sure that I have something. One of the things that I think about the Garmin, and Mike, tell me if you agree with this, is that it's kind of a workhorse. Mm-hmm. I mean, you pretty much can depend on it working, and you know, it's always reliable. It you know typically picks up a GPS feed very, very quickly. I don't, you know, I ran the Boston Marathon in the rain. I didn't really worry about my Garmin. I would say for the Apple Watch, I would be a little bit more careful with it. So I like it just as a, you know, kind of a moderate to, you know, my moderate exercises, I will use it for that. But for my long runs, I'll probably stick with my Garmin.
Michelle, I know that when you first got the watch, we went out running and you wore that as well as your Garmin. Mm-hmm. What were the results of that?
So when I was doing the calibration, of course, I had my phone with me. And so my phone was picking up GPS data. So it calibrated pretty accurately. It did do some funky things a little bit way down the line. I actually had to get my Apple Watch replaced, which I hear isn't typical. The accelerometer wasn't working. But typically, I have found that it's pretty accurate. And, you know, I'm not seriously training for everything right now. So for what I'm doing, it's absolutely fine. But for people who really want to crunch the numbers and look at the data, I wouldn't rely only on this myself. So, yeah, I think overall it's pretty accurate and great. And for the whole package of everything that it does, including all the running stuff, I do like it.
Okay, you like it. Tell me, all right, so we've heard all a bunch of stuff, but I want you to tell me what you like the best about it. Because, you know, I know that, you know, you're looking forward to this and you're looking forward to trying it out and everything, but, you know, there have been some glitches along the way. What do you like the best about the watch?
In terms of running?
Just anything.
I like having all the data available on my wrist. So when I'm at work and I'm at a meeting and my kids are texting me, I don't feel like I'm looking at my phone every second. I like having, I think the activity data on the phone is much more comprehensive when you look at when you've been exercising and how much you've been exercising and what your heart rate is and everything like that. It's much more comprehensive than Fitbit, I think. So I like that very much. I like the different apps that are coming out, and I've been experimenting with some of them. So this is maybe a segue, Mike. There are lots and lots of running apps that you can get. And one of the things that I would like to do is to maybe have some of our listeners who have an Apple Watch who might want to do like a 10-minute audio review of some of these apps, because I've used them a little bit, but I haven't used them a lot. One of them is Strava, which is a well-known app for running and biking. I've tried that a little bit. Runkeeper, the Nike app. A lot of people use that on their phone. You can actually get that on your Apple Watch too. Map My Run and Runtastic. I've tried all of those different apps a little bit, and I don't know, I've had mixed success with them. One of the things I don't want to do is to take my phone with me, because that's not something I would typically do in a long run, and I don't think any of these are reliable just on their own. But they have some interesting features. For instance, the Nike app, you can load your music on your Apple Watch through the Nike app and listen to it that way. And all of these have much more of a pronounced social media connection. So if you wanted to share your Nike information or your Runkeeper information with others, you could do that, where you can't do that right now on the Apple Watch. But Mike, since this is a new technology, I think we're just at the beginning of some really cool things. And I could definitely see in the future that things are going to get more accurate. There's a new version of the OS coming out in the fall. And I'm kind of excited about what's around the corner. So I think I really do enjoy it. I'm really liking it very, very much. And I have, one of the things that we didn't talk about was that you can interchange the sports band. So I have different color sports bands that can use, or you can dress it up and things like that.
If Apple called you up today and said, you know, Michelle, we know that you use our products day in and day out, and there's anybody who tests them to the limit, it's you. So we want you to tell us three things you want us to do with the Apple Watch for the next version. What would you tell them?
I would love to have a GPS on it. I would love to be able to listen to podcasts a little bit more easily. You can kind of load them in, but you kind of have to do it through the back door. And I think that right now to load music on, you actually can only load one playlist, and it takes a little bit of time. It's not super, super fast to get it loaded on. I loaded 250 songs on. I would like that whole process to be a little bit easier. But, you know, there are a lot of fun things, and I know our buddy Chris Eliopoulos likes to listen to the Mickey Miles podcast, and he is an artist, and I get some really fun doodles from him. So I like being connected. I have lots and lots of people I know have the watch, so you can kind of draw them pictures all day long and things like that. So it's kind of fun, but there is some room for improvement, too.
And for the record, you would not use the watch at a Run Disney race? So would you use it at a 5K maybe?
I think I would use it at a 5K or a 10K, but I think for the half, I would definitely bring my Garmin for that. However, I wouldn't wear my Garmin around the parks all day long. I would wear my Apple Watch. And actually, I have a trip coming up, and I'm really looking forward to seeing my steps and the activity that I do, because I'll be wearing the Apple Watch in the park. So that's going to be kind of neat. Another room for improvement would be, you know, there are all these little apps that are popping up that you can use on your Apple Watch. Right now, there's an app there's an app called Disney Moment that you can use on your Apple Watch that gives you little Disney trivia and things like that. I use it when I'm in line at the supermarket. But you know what I would love, Mike, is if my Disney Experience had an Apple Watch app, and I could ditch the Magic Band and have everything on my watch. So I could get into the park with my watch. I could do my FastPass Plus with my watch. Right now, there are already some hotels where they send you your reservation, and you can get into your room with your watch. There's some apps that already do that. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to do that at Disney parks?
But you know, Michelle, I'm really surprised that Disney didn't get on board with that early on, because obviously they want to be on the cutting edge, and there's a Mickey face on the watch and everything, so I'm really surprised.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that, you know, they didn't have an app or two, you know, especially My Disney Experience, because, and they just updated the My Disney Experience, too. So, Who knows? Maybe the next time around.
I forgot to talk about the different watch faces and the data that's on the watch face, but you like the Mickey face, right?
Isn't not enough cute? To get me to buy it.
Why wouldn't you get one?
I think that there are... Okay.
But you do like...
You asked the question.
Yeah, okay.
I think that it's a misnomer to call not just the Apple Watch, but a lot of the watches out there smart watches. I don't think they're smart watches. I think smart devices can stand by themselves, such as phones. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that there are iWatches out there that are, quote, smart enough for me to accept the definition of smart. Now, it could be that they're in their infancy. You know, the technology is still growing, and maybe someday they will be smart. But like you said, the iWatch needs the Apple phone right near it. It needs the iPhone near it.
Well, so it doesn't. I mean, for running, you don't need to have it after you calibrate it. And if I were just going to go to the parks, I would not need my, I wouldn't need it with me, but I wouldn't get updates and texts and things like that. But I would leave my phone in my bag, which for a day at a Disney park is awesome. You don't have to keep on taking your phone out.
That's true.
So, and you can answer phone calls on it too. And but you think you'd want a device that completely stands alone. The problem right now is that the input is, if you're texting somebody and you have a long text, the input is through Siri. So you're, aside from, doing a quick yes-no type of thing, the input, the response, you have to dictate it into your wrist.
I think that what I want to say, and we're wrapping this up, I would want my iWatch, my smartwatch, to be able to do certain things. It does not have to do everything that a smartphone does, but if I want to use it for running, and if I want to communicate with somebody while I'm out there running, then if that has the ability to communicate, it's got GPS and maybe a few other things, I would be more than happy with that. Sort of like a Dick Tracy kind of a watch. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be a smartphone clone. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be a smart watch, then if it does four or five things, then I would be happy. So we'll see what happens.
I think it does a lot more than four or five things.
But without the phone.
Yeah. But so let's talk about Disney parks again. Don't you think it's kind of a nice way to communicate with other people when you're at a Disney park, just having your watch there and being able to text and things like that?
Yep.
Yeah. What about a camera on the watch?
That'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah. You can actually control your iPhone camera on your watch, so you can do selfies and things like that. If you want to do that at Disney parks. But
okay.
I would love it if my Disney experience was available. That would be cool.
Well, let's keep our eye out and we'll see what happens.
I did want to mention two other things, though. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number one, there's Passbook on it. So that means you can load credit cards and other forms of payment. I have a few credit cards and almost all of them, including my credit union information, goes on the Passbook. So it would be good for runners if you're out with an emergency. If you needed to buy something quickly, or you could call an Uber cab on it, you could do that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that, as I mentioned earlier, is I would love to have people who are experts at the different Apple Watch versions of Strava, Runkeeper, Nike, MapMyRun, or Runtastic. If they want to contact me and give us a little, a bit of either a email review of these different apps or an audio review, send me a note at michelle@mickeymilespodcast.com. We would love to hear that, because I'm sure people are going to want to try out some of these different apps.
Well, at the next Run Disney Race weekend, I'll be curious to see how many runners are wearing the Apple iWatch.
So if I was going to get you one for your next birthday?
No, you don't.
No, you really don't want one. Okay. Well, I love mine.
All right. Well, again, we tried to do a little Disney connection with this, and hopefully we gave those of you who are thinking about purchasing this Apple Watch some ideas of what it can and what it can't do, and make you a little bit more informed. So,
should we have people just write in too with their own reviews?
Yes.
If we missed anything. questions@mickeymilespodcast.com
or on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.